Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I am calling live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a phenomenal show lined up for you all today. We have my co-host and friend, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself from ProfitableStorytelling.com, calling in live this week from the Ozarks. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Hello, hello. Yes, I am calling from the beautiful sunny Ozarks. And if you occasionally hear banging, I'll try to keep the noise down, but there's someone building a deck on the side of my house today, so.
Oh, how nice.
Very, very nice. Yes, absolutely. And I am so excited for today's show, I can hardly stand it. It's been really cool. And I love it because, well, for many reasons, one of which is we have been kind of in a theme lately, talking about branding and how you present yourself in your business. And so this week is a continuation of a really, really cool series of shows that we've been doing recently.
Yeah, and this week's topic is branding with a twist. Today we're going to be talking with a social branding expert by the name of Simon Mainwaring. Simon is a number one New York Times bestselling author, number one Wall Street Journal bestselling author. And Rhonda, too many to name and list. I'm going to let you do the formal introduction, but I'm really excited to have Simon with us today.
Well, I'm really excited to have Simon with us here. And, I'm just getting the – boy, if I had to go through his entire bio, I think we could take up the whole show just with his accomplishments.
And we sure could.
He's just one of those people, you know, it's like the creme de la creme is here today with us, absolutely, with Simon, definitely a social branding expert. And, yes, he is a number one best-selling author in New York Times, which is, I will tell you, not easy to do at all. He's an award-winning advertising creative director. He's also an influential blogger. Got some banging going on somewhere. That's not me. That is not on my line. He is an international speaker. He is a member of the General Mills Digital Advisory Board, and he's on other kinds of advisory boards. He is. He's worked with some of the bigger brands that you would absolutely recognize for sure. He's an expert blogger for Fast Company. He has worked in the World Forum, and he is. And part of a new media group and, you know, has just done all kinds of amazing things. He has been one of these with a really interesting twist on things because he is dealing with brands not in how you present yourself exactly, you know, like we talked about with Ben Mack previously with a little bit of that kind of a twist. This is more of the social branding, thinking of what goes beyond you and your business. And so he is really working with businesses to help provide sustained prosperity and to do it in a way that's very much socially conscious and that creates a massive win, not only for the particular company. And he, like I say, he's worked with some really big ones and as well as, you know, now we'll be talking to solo entrepreneurs today. But he's doing this in a way that you can be socially conscious, create something that is helpful to charitable cause, and it creates a big win. It's a different twist on capitalism that is not looking at the me first, but looking at the we first. So, as I said, there are just so many accomplishments. I'm just excited to bring Simon on here today.
Welcome, Simon. Do I have you unmuted properly?
I believe you do. Can you hear me? And thank you so much.
I can hear you loud and clear.
It's so funny. My accent sounds Australian on the radio. It's very strange.
That
really
is strange. It's so funny. Simon and I only met, just a few short weeks ago. But I feel like I've known you for eons already, Simon.
You know what, Gina? We crossed the threshold when we Skyped each other in our pajamas. Then we knew that we'd actually crossed the familiarity threshold.
Yes! Video Skype, not just text chat type.
Oh, yeah. I've done that a few times myself, absolutely. Not with Simon yet, though.
Well, Simon, it's my pleasure to have you here. And I think a great way of getting started today is to have you explain what social branding is in a way that our listeners can really better understand.
Absolutely, and thank you for the chance to share it. And as you mentioned, I'm a solopreneur myself now. In fact, I have one employee, and I'm just a corporate guy who's had the good fortune to work with a lot of big brands and then became an entrepreneur that really had no backup other than himself. And what I found was that a lot of the insights that I gained working on big brands like Nike and Coke and so on were really advantageous for my business to build it. And so what I'm talking about is the ability for each of us, whether it's one person, two people, three people, whether you're an author, a speaker, a trainer, a consultant, to actually become a social brand. And what that means is you use these cost-effective social media tools like Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and Instagram and Pinterest to build a customer base that is inspired to share your message across their own social media channels. So you're not alone. It's not you just trying to kind of make it all happen yourself. You actually have this small team or army of customers that are building your business with you. But to motivate people to do that, there's certain things you have to do, but once you do, it transforms your experience as a small entrepreneur.
And it really creates communities around something bigger than just making money, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, the most powerful thing for me is that I think all of us, especially since 2008 and the global economic meltdown, we're all, very aware of how connected we are. We've all had a very tough experience in the economy, and we're all looking for brands to be more socially responsible, and at the same time, we're all looking for more meaning in our lives. And we're at this beautiful intersection right now where your customers out there, whether you're a financial advisor, a real estate agent, a speaker, an author, your customers out there want to connect around something meaningful. So the best thing you can do for your business is define your purpose, why you do what you do, and then communicate that with them so that you connect on an emotional level so that they want to share your message with them, with their own peers and friends. And to give you a concrete example, I'd written a book, this book called WeFirst, about repurposed capitalism. And, on the face of it, that could be a fairly dry topic. But when I actually thought about how to share that with people, I created a short animated video that explained the message. And because I served up the message in a way that people found it relatable and accessible and shareable, that video was shared almost 40,000 times in the first 48 hours after I released it. And that drove a lot of the success of the book. So I just mentioned that as a concrete example of when you share the right message the right way, you're not alone. You have this community, this purposeful community to support you.
Well, and I often talk about targeting your market as meaning having the right message with the right people at the right time. And you really got to get all three of those, the right message with the right people at the right time, to be in alignment. And that's essentially what you're talking about. You're figuring out what those three elements are. Who are the right people? What is the right message? When is the right time?
Absolutely. And I think there's two things I'd mention on that point. One is that it's very hard to see yourself sometimes, to define your own brand. And that's why a lot of entrepreneurs who've got to do payroll and make sure there's photocopier paper and try and not eat their lunch at their desk one day a week, you know, you don't get time for the luxury of working out what your brand and story is about. But this is incredibly important to marketing because, think about it, there are so many bad products out there that do well because they've got good marketing and so many good products out there that do badly because they've got poor marketing. And we as entrepreneurs overlook that, but we have to consider our marketing. And secondly, one of the biggest mistakes I'd share is that having worked with big companies, a lot of them now, when they want to use social media, they rush straight past the story to the telling. They rush straight past their purpose and the emotional connection to Twitter or Facebook, and then they wonder why it doesn't work because they're not connecting with people.
Yeah, so that storytelling component is really important. And Rhonda calls herself the profitable story lady because that's really what brands need. They need to find that story. And this is one of the things that you've really mastered working with the companies that...
Yeah, it's a muscle, like all of us, everyone who's listening. You know, you're a solopreneur and you've got a certain skill set and you do something over and over again, your 10,000 hours, and you become very good at it. And mine happens to be the ability to distill a story down of a company into very simple emotional terms that will motivate people to change the way they think or behave or what they buy. And so I'm deeply committed to supporting entrepreneurs now because I went from that direct experience of having a salary and health benefits and the security of knowing someone else was in charge of keeping the doors open at whatever company I was at to being, oh, my God, it's just me, and there is no backup. And then when I found that the principles that I was applying that I'd learned working on these big brands really seemed to give me a competitive advantage, I got really sort of incensed that entrepreneurs – startups get almost penalized because they don't have a budget, they don't have an ad agency, they don't have these insights, and then they work themselves to death, and you don't get the results you deserve. So that's my big passion, is to bring those insights to entrepreneurs and to startups and solo, you know, sort of solopreneurs.
I made it back. Thanks for just taking over, Rhonda. Why don't you go ahead and help Simon get our listeners to understand what this is all about.
I didn't have to say a word. Simon just kept going. It was great. I didn't even know you were gone.
Good job, Simon.
I love it. Simon was into this impassioned, wonderful explanation, and I'm just all aglow over here going, yes, good stuff, you know.
Rhonda's dealing with tradesmen. Gina fell off her chair. Simon's just deathbagging on.
Too funny.
That's just too funny. It just cracked me up when you said you were gone. I'm like, what, really? Oh, okay. No. No, and but that's so true. It's really, there's a commercial right now on television, and, it, you know, it's something like, Bob, the copier broke down. Okay, I'll get to it. And it's all the same guy having to play all these roles,
yeah,
like you're saying.
Yeah,
you know, fix the copier, get the paper, answer the phone, do this, do that, whatever, and it's so true. It can be really easy to get caught up into the stuff, the to-dos and the minutiae of running your business and all the things that need done, and not necessarily be able to step back or know, you know, how to find the space to step back and go, okay, you know, yes, well, now what am I really all about? And you said something really brilliant. You said a number of really brilliant things, but something I wanted to get back to. Of course, being called the Story Lady, which was actually a name someone else bestowed on me first, and I liked it, so I kept it. I like what you said about, and I agree with you, that there are companies who run in straight into the social media, and they think, well, it's a short message, 140 characters. How could I possibly mess that up for the company? And you've said they go right past the story into the telling, and they leave out that critical component. And to me, what you teach people is the most critical element of storytelling, and that's the emotion.
It is. I mean, the currency we still trade is emotion, and social media are just more channels through which to do that. And this is not my opinion. This is what I've learned. I mean, what I'm sharing is what actually goes on inside the top advertising agencies in the world that are doing the work for Nike and Coca-Cola and Starbucks and Dell and IBM. This is literally what's going on, and it's just that we don't really know that if we're a solopreneur or on our own. So I would share three key steps, because I really want your listeners to get concrete value out of this. There are three key steps that you have to take as a for your marketing. The first is you have to learn that the future of profit is purpose. And what I mean by that is, if you want to build a company around customers that will share your message and rapidly scale your business, you need to connect with them around emotion through the purpose of your business. So it may seem counterintuitive, but the future of profit is purpose. So don't skip past that story, that purpose, that meaning, that emotion. Second thing, instead of being the celebrity of your customer community, you have to be its chief celebrant. And what I mean by that is, a lot of entrepreneurs go out there with these new channels, and they talk about themselves incessantly. Here's our new product. Here's our new offer. This is what we're doing. And no one likes it when someone just talks at them in a real-life conversation. And that's what you're doing on social media. It's supposed to be a dialogue. So instead of being the celebrity where you talk about yourself all the time, be the celebrant where you talk about the value you're offering to them and the purpose and goals you can achieve together. And then finally, instead of seeking fan acquisition, seek fan action. And what I mean by that is, a lot of people think it's all about the number of fans and followers you have. It's not. It's about building a deep relationship with a small number of people who really care about your success and your brand and your values and your common goals, and inspire them to build your business with them. And if you do those three steps, you'll be applying the same strategies that the smartest marketers in the world are, and that's why they get the success over the short and long term.
Excellent.
One of the things that I've really seen from you is you have so many brilliant examples of both big and small companies who are really doing this. Can you share a couple of examples that would show our listeners how a company has gone through those three steps to master social branding?
Absolutely. And the only reason I share the big ones is so that it gives you confidence that this is something for real that's really driving these big companies. So one example is one of the biggest companies in the world, Procter & Gamble, and they make a brand called Pampers. And Pampers is diapers, and I have two daughters, 13 and 10, and I know what diapers are and how they leak and all that good stuff. And so, you know, when you buy a packet of Pampers, it funds a tetanus vaccination for a mother or newborn child in the developing world. And in the last 4 years, Pampers has funded over 30 million vaccinations, saving an estimated over 100,000 lives. Why is that important? Yes, it's doing good. But it's important because there's an alignment between the purpose and core values of the brand, which is Procter & Gamble and Pampers, and the customer's values, which are mothers who, just by getting what they need to get anyway, a diaper, are supporting other mothers and children. So that motivates them to buy that brand because they feel like they're doing good. So that purpose builds the profit of that business. On a smaller scale, in New York City, there's a burger joint, a single burger joint called Four Food, the number four and then food. And their purpose, their tagline, is de-junking fast food. And what they do is, whenever you buy, that you as a customer go in there and you choose from the menu items, you create your own burger, and that becomes part of the menu. And whichever burger is selling the most gets on the Billboard 100. Instead of Billboard 100, Billboard 100. And
right.
So the customers co-create the menu, and then they get the sort of recognition for seeing their burger up there being sold. Everyone's co-creating the marketing and the products and the services, and so they want to share it across their own social media channels. And in addition to that, they've got hundreds of thousands of dollars of free PR for actually doing that. So, you know, they're treating their fan, they're being the celebrant of their customer community, and they're seeking fan action over acquisition because they're actually getting them to do something that makes them want to share the message of the brand. So the point is, whether you're Procter & Gamble in 150 countries around the world or a single burger joint in New York City, it's just, what's your purpose? How do you tell that story in an emotional way? How do you celebrate your customers in the process? And then how do you get them to do something that builds your business?
Really brilliant. And I shared with you the example that's happening right now in my own life. My husband recently got this little pedometer. It counts how many steps he takes every day. It's called Strive, S-T-R-I-I-V, and you'll find it at strive.com. But essentially, every time he walks 18,000 steps, he can either choose to have drinking water that a sponsor takes care of for a day for a person in a third world country in South America, or he can choose to help the rainforest, or choose to help get polio vaccines for moms and their babies in third world countries. Every time he walks 18,000 steps, a sponsor supports the cause of his choice. And as he walks, he earns points. And those points allow him to then play this game called Myland, which is all about building a sustainable living environment in a community in the game. And as he builds his Myland, a sponsor builds a similar Myland somewhere in a third world country. I've never, ever seen my husband take the kind of action that he takes. Not because he wants to lose weight, not because he's wanting to stay healthy, but because he wants to make a difference.
And, right. And also because, you know, you kind of, it's that big, large whip that you bought, you know, Gina, you know, that's going as well. I totally hear you.
Yeah, no, I got to throw my whip away the second day. I haven't needed to use it even once, Simon.
No,
I love that.
Well,
I'm
no, listen, I mean,
now.
What your point is so well taken. It applies equally to the virtual and the real world. Think of this. When you play one of those social games that so many people do, like Mafia Wars or Farm Builder, Zynga games and Facebook, you can actually support a cause. So, for example, when the earthquake happened in Haiti, Zynga created little digital things that you could put in your farms. And when you paid 99 cents for those objects, it actually went to the earthquake victims, and they generated over $1.5 million in 24 hours doing it that way. By the same token, there's a very small T-shirt company called Sevenly. Sevenly, it's spelled out, it's not the number, but it's Sevenly. And every single week, they crowdsource what their community wants them to support with $7 from the sale of each T-shirt. So why do they do that? It shows what they care about. You connect emotionally with your customers, and every week you've got an excuse to reach out and engage with them and say, do you like this cause? Do you like that cause? It gives you a reason to have a heartfelt conversation which builds loyalty around the brand. And just to give people confidence that this is not isolated incidences, let's look at the biggest brands in the world right now. We've got Nike has Better World Project. Coca-Cola, open happiness. Pepsi, refresh everything. Starbucks, shared planet. IBM, smarter planet. Patagonia, don't buy this jacket. It is astonishing that the biggest, most well-funded marketers in the world are now becoming extra purposeful.
Wow.
I love that.
Huge, Simon. I hadn't even thought about it that way, but that is really amazing.
Mhm. And it's so much different to just have something on Facebook to, you know, to get people to like something or whatever. Now, Simon, for example, I wonder if you're aware, if you know if they're doing anything with this. Lay's, the potato chip company, was doing this thing about creating a new flavor of Lay's. And I'm not aware of them being hooked up with Extra Purposefully, as you say, as some of these other companies are. Are they doing anything like that?
So you were a little hard to hear then. If you could ask that question again.
Lay's potato chips.
All right.
They have
this
thing. You can choose a flavor. And I was wondering if they're doing anything like the Pepsi Refresh and Coca-Cola Happiness.
No, I don't know specifically about Lay's, but I will tell you, I think it's Sun Chips, which is made by PepsiCo. Sun Chips, they created the first 100% recyclable packaging.
Bag,
Where you can actually, you know, bury a packet of those sort of alfoil packaging that it comes in, and it's fully biodegradable over time. And when you think about it, companies 5 years ago were not investing their energy, time, or resources into minimizing their impact on the environment, to improving the lives of their customers and workforce. And we've got to ask ourselves why they're doing this. And the bottom line is, companies cannot survive in societies that fail. And right now, the middle class is suffering a lot in the U.S. And a lot of us are solopreneurs, are writing books, developing products, starting companies, doing training that basically says we want to take responsibility for the change we want to see in the world. And then rather than try and sell those products as if they're just another product out there, we're uniquely positioned to talk about the purpose and the meaning and the emotion behind why we're doing that. And that totally matches the marketplace in terms of what our customers want. So, you know, I share this only because this is my direct experience applying these principles. But 18 months ago when the book came out, I was just an ad guy that no one had ever heard of. And you know, still largely am in a sense. But in terms of the principles that I've applied to my business, in 18 months, you know, I've had the good fortune to launch a New York Times best-selling book and host sold-out conferences and have be writing for Forbes, Mashable, Fast Company, Huffington Post, and Good Magazine, to travel from Brazil to London to Australia to all over the U.S. speaking, and to take my consulting business from, you know, a new area where I was learning to be an expert myself to working with the likes of, you know, Coca-Cola and the XPRIZE Foundation right now and so many smaller brands. And that's all because I defined my brand, told its story, and led through purpose. And so what I'm deeply passionate about is saying to entrepreneurs who have so much anxiety about just keeping the doors open and just meeting payroll and just sort of, you know, trying to find an office space, that you should invest in your marketing. You should take the time to work out what your story is, because in this social business marketplace where you can connect with customers effectively for free through social media, that story will propel your business, and that's where the success comes with these big brands.
And I know for so many of our listeners, especially my students, that part of it is really challenging for them. Many of them know what they're passionate about. They're finding their passion and following it to build their business. They may even know what their purpose is, but figuring out how to translate that into a story that attracts new fans is very, very difficult for them. What advice do you have for them in doing
that? Absolutely. You know, I found it very difficult myself, and the reason is it's very hard to see yourself. You know, when we're all in relationships and, you know, with your husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, and if someone asked you personally to explain yourself, you know, it takes you 20 minutes. But your boyfriend or girlfriend will walk up and go, oh, them? He's like that. And they'll nail it in 5 seconds flat, because they're that third-party, dispassionate sort of perspective on the outside. And that's why big companies have ad agencies. And so here's some tips on exactly how you define your brand. There are four questions you can answer. The first is, why did you start your company? Literally, it wasn't to sell widgets, or it wasn't to be a speaker, or it wasn't. What is the emotional core of why you started your company? Secondly, what are you the only of? So there's lots of speakers, lots of authors, lots of consultants, lots of advisors out there. But honestly, in your heart of hearts, mindful of your own unique gifts, what are you the only of? Then thirdly, when you are at your best, what are you doing? When you're having one of those days where you privately, in your own mind's eye, go, wow, I really rocked it today. Like, wow, that was amazing. I nailed that, or whatever. What were you doing? And then fourthly, what is your vision or promise or dream for the future? So, for example, with WeFirst, it's a WeFirst world in which, you know, we all serve our own self-interest, but we also consider the interests of others. Or Open Happiness for Coca-Cola. Theirs is, you know, we're going to have a happier world of thriving communities. or if it's that fast food joint in New York City, it's we're going to have fast food out there that's actually healthy for you. What's your vision, your promise for the future? If you answer those four questions and look at the theme that comes up, you'll start to very quickly identify what's unique and what your purpose is. And then there's a second part of it I'll just quickly say, which is it's not then about naming what you are, because then you run the guilt, you feel guilty of making yourself a celebrity. You have to tell that story in a community-facing way. And here's some examples. Coca-Cola used to be the real thing. Now their campaign is open happiness. Pepsi used to be the joy of Pepsi. Now it's refresh everything. They've shifted their focus off themselves to others. And I've literally done that with We First. So when you come to answer those four questions, take that answer, but then frame it in a community-facing way where you explain the value or promise to your customer community rather than just a description of yourself.
Love it. That's really good.
Really good question.
I'll let you jump in here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, so we have people, and I find the same thing as I work with people on helping them to write books and build their legacy around it, and, you know, folks have some of the same issues that GINA students have in terms of being able to present yourself. So taking these four questions, I can imagine someone could take a little bit of time, write down those four questions that you've instructed people to answer, actually sort of if you count, how do you put that into a memorable community-facing phrase?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And by doing that, taking a little time to do that, that will help them. And then after they have gone, okay, so let's just say I've answered these five questions or the four questions, plus I've given my, you know, refresh everything type of statement of community-facing purpose. Now how do I then take that, those answers, and integrate them into my business? That would be the next question. Really would have.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we could describe what we've just talked about as the brand definition phase, where it's like you're working out who you are. There's a second stage before you actually go to market, which is integrating that message within your company. And even though we're all solopreneurs and I've got, you know, one employee, share that with your employees. Make sure that they're on the same page. Let them know why they're working with you and what the company's about, because other your customers are going to have that point of contact. They're going to be meeting and talking to that person. And what a big mistake a lot of companies make is they tell customers that they stand for something, but they forgot to tell their employees. So when people call in or get customer service, they get a totally different experience. So phase two after brand definition is integrating that message to your employees, whether there's, you know, one or there's 10. And then the third stage is going to market. And in terms of doing that, the most important thing you can do first is actually share that vision with others. So if you look on We First site, you'll see that we have a manifesto on the landing page and our 10 core beliefs. And
what I love
you can
that.
What you can do very, very seriously, and if you want to just check it out as a reference, it's wefirstbranding.com, wefirstbranding.com. And there's lots of things there that might be instructive, you know, helpful for people. But what you then do is share that message with your customers. The first thing you need to say is what you care about. It's not about being clever or particularly creative. It's like, you know, even if you've only got five customers out there, you say, listen, whether you're communicating by a newsletter, by email, by a YouTube video, whatever it might be, by a webinar, say, listen, I want to start by telling you what we care about. And I'm doing that because I want your input as well. You know, and then you start that conversation so they start to be invested in your success. So that's the first stage of your messaging. The second stage is, how do you bring that to light? So what are you going to do that demonstrates that, whether it's a small contribution as a percentage of your sales, whether it's volunteering some time, whether it's I'm giving away free product to somebody that's, you know, where it makes sense in terms of what you care about, and communicate that. And then look at each of the different channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and start bringing those things to life. And so, concrete example, We First is all about our collective success. So if you look at my blog, all I ever do is write about what other people are doing that serves the greater good or common interest. And what does that do? That allows you to celebrate them. They're appreciative of it. And so what do? They talk about we first to others. So take the purposeful message that you define for yourself, share it with your employees, share it with your customers, and then start to bring that to life in meaningful ways specific to the different channels. And you'll start to, over a 12-week period, start to get real momentum for your business, and suddenly you'll find there'll be all this inbound interest where people are referring just two or three other people they know, and when you've got enough people doing that, suddenly it takes on the life of its own.
Excellent. You know, people seem to jump into the market phase, the phase three, without really having gone through the other two in a lot of cases, don't they?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's what I mean about racing past the story to the telling. And,
right.
You know, that's why companies like Dell have something called the SMAC University, which is their social media university internally. That's why companies like Facebook and Zappos have this kind of whole process you have to go through, which is not about aren't you lucky to work at our company. It's this is what we care about. So when you go into Zappos, which is famous for its customer service, their 10 values are on the wall, front and center, so people know why they work there. And when you do that, we suddenly give each other permission to be human beings. And we're all qualified. I mean, we don't have to be corporate. We don't have to be arm's length. We don't have to be marketer to buyer. It's like, no, we're human beings relating to each other about what we care about. And because we care about these things, we made this product. And this is what's good about it. And here's the value I think it'll add to your life. And we'd love it to share for you to share information about it with others, but also we'd love your feedback. Are there things we could do better, we could improve, that you don't like? We're in this together, and let's succeed together.
Yeah, very good. The other thing is that I believe is really significant among the things you're saying. When you talk about being a celebrant rather than a celebrity, it actually takes a lot of the heat off of the solopreneur, right? Because there isn't this pressure feeling, well, I don't want to toot my own horn. I don't want to talk about me. And so it gives you something very natural to talk about. You're not talking about you directly. You're talking about the success of somebody who just had their first sale or put up their first blog post or wrote their first mini book or whatever the particular success is, and being able to celebrate them and let them be so ecstatic that they are then sharing with their friends, look, you know, she or he wrote about me here or did this on Facebook or that on their blog or whatever, and get very excited, and they're talking about themselves in relation to you, as Gina would say, in relation to your business and because of the results that it's brought to them. And it really takes the pressure off of the entrepreneur who feels like, well, what do I talk about? Well, you help create successes, help people be successful, and you talk about them.
It's so true, Rhonda. What you just said is so important. I mean, none of us want to be a stinker, pardon the French. I mean, none of us want to sort of be tooting our own horns all day and selling so hard that we sort of feel like we're overbearing. But if instead you reframe your message about your product and service and celebrate those success stories, then, you know, I'll give you a concrete example from the biggest marketer in the world, Coca-Cola. They created Expedition 206, and they crowdsourced amongst their fans to choose from six teams of ambassadors that would go to 206 countries around the world, documenting what happiness means to different people in different countries. Why did they do that? They did that because it means their customers are already invested in the result. They did that because they can ask people in Pakistan to Sydney, Australia, to Bangladesh, to New York City what happiness means to them, and they're all different. But this core emotional proposition is still global at the same time. So it's global, and it's local, and it's emotional. And all they're doing is inspiring their customers to create YouTube videos that they then share, which promotes their brand. So by creating these success stories, you inspire people to share those stories, and those stories promote your brand. So, yes, it takes the pressure off you as the solopreneur. It throws the attention on your success stories, and it inspires those customers to build your brand.
I didn't know what happened to Rhonda there.
I think I shocked you. I shocked you.
No. Oh, I see in our control panel that she dropped off the call by accident, too. I was just muted because my dog's barking, and I didn't want you guys to have to hear them.
That's so funny. And you know, Gina, I've had a direct experience of this with you. You know, in the last few weeks of getting to know you, as all of your sort of students know, you are so warm and so giving. And you know what? As a result of the way that you have treated me and have been so supportive, what am I doing? I am the number one Gina fan out there. And this is not marketing suddenly. Suddenly, it's relationships. And it's goodwill, and it's heart and minds connecting about things we all care about. And by celebrating each other's success, then we all succeed. And that's what We First is all about, as opposed to kind of the Me First mentality that got us in so much trouble in 2008. So, you know, people sometimes think that marketing is this mysterious art. It's not. It's just treating our customers as human beings rather than transactions, and working together to succeed around a common purpose or shared value, rather than buy my stuff and get 10% off.
And this is what Directions U is all about. It's helping entrepreneurs to create a system that allows them to serve to the best of their ability while strategically monetizing. And in the process of doing that, your goal is to create true evangelists who you've impacted so much that they cannot possibly talk about themselves without bringing up your name. If you can really do that, you don't ever have to go out and seek new customers. Get a small group of people that you impact that much, and they will bring you every person in the world in the end. It's exactly
Absolutely.
How I build my business, and exactly what you're talking about here.
I mean, you need to identify those brand ambassadors and support them and allow them to succeed. I was having dinner. I had the good fortune to sit next to Lady Gaga's manager at dinner one night, and I was talking to him. His name is Troy Carter, and he's a wonderful gentleman and father and all things. And I said, Troy, you've done an amazing job with this brand. Within 3 years, she's number one on Time's 100 most important people in the world. How did you build the brand? And he said, I didn't build the brand. And I said, what do you mean? He said, there's about 12 people that built the brand. And I said, who are they? And he said, well, there's one in Brazil, there's three in Russia, there's a couple in Europe, and these are all fans who command armies of their own fans and create content out of their own passion for the brand. And so whether it's Lady Gaga or each of us as a speaker, author, trainer, consultant, advisor, with those 15 customers who keep showing up in our Facebook comments, who keep showing up in our Twitter stream and retweeting us, who come to an event, who buy the book, who make a comment, they're the ones we reach out to and say thank you, because we're connecting around the same thing, and then you build that relationship and it will grow from there. I mean, I love what you're saying, Gina. It's so spot on.
And our relationship really is a beautiful example of this. When we met just a few short weeks ago, I could very easily have gotten on the phone with you, looked at what you were doing, looked at how I could help you, and said, well, Simon, I'd love to help you with this. It's going to be X amount of dollars. Something in the tens of thousands of dollars would have been the price tag on that.
Right.
But had I done that, even if I helped you in reaching the goals that you've got, you wouldn't necessarily go out there and tell everybody else you know about me in the same way, would you?
No, you don't. And I think that you know, it comes from a place of heart. And when you see that in someone, you recognize it. So, you know, when I first started out with the We First message, having just written the book, I was speaking at, you know, so many nonprofit conferences and small conferences and taking so many phone calls and giving advice where I could, because I knew my advice had value, because I just, you know, I'd stepped out of this corporate world and working on these big brands. It wasn't the smartest thing in the world to do in terms of how I use my time as an entrepreneur, because, you know, I'm trying to feed a family and, you know, we've only got one income in our family and all that sort of stuff. But it's what I felt compelled to do. And what you don't realize is that over time, it builds up this body of goodwill where people come to not only personally themselves believe that you're authentically committed to what you're talking about, but they share that with others. And it's something you cannot fake. And that's why tapping into what you care about and who you are and aligning what you do on a daily basis with that and not trying to fake it is so important to your business as a very, very, very small company.
If you're not coming from that place authentically, people will see through it every single time. You can't just pay lip service to it.
It's got
to be truly who you are. And while it will take a longer period of time to get that goodwill to turn into dollars, over a longer period of time, what you reap as a result in terms of the monetary success is so much bigger than anything you could have done to sell it first and make money later, and serve later, rather.
Yep. I do it a hundred times over that way.
And, I really hope people who are kindly listening give themselves the gift of patience in the sense that I know how acute the pressure is when there's one of you or two of you in your company to make that sale, to get that money in the door, to compromise on your fee just to get the cash flow going, all of that stuff. But if you can carve out time to define your story and tell it in a community-facing way and invest outreach, do outreach on that basis, it really will make a difference very quickly between 3 to 6 months between, not having a business and not being known and always having to kind of rebuild yourself at the foot of waves and, you make a sale, you make a transaction, now you've got to find another one, to actually building relationships with customers that will stay with you in the long term. And it's the lifetime value of a customer, which is so critical.
And bring you everybody else that they know to do the same.
Right.
It's not just the lifetime value of that customer in terms of what that one customer puts in your pocket. It's the lifetime value of that relationship and what all of the customers it brings you causes the outcome of the lifetime value of the relationship. Make sense, Simon?
It totally does. And, what I think is really instructive here is that, I don't know if the listeners have noticed, but we're not talking about Facebook or Twitter or comments or posts or likes. We're talking about the human strategies and the relationship dynamics that drive business. And now that all of these media tools are suddenly available to small business and solopreneurs, it's easy to kind of get caught up in the bells and whistles of those things. But really, nothing's changed. It's all about human dynamics and relationship building. And I think social technology is teaching us to be human again because it's allowing us to have a dialogue rather than a monologue. And so I think, my hope is that it gives people confidence that, yes, they know how to build relationships, and, yes, they will give themselves the gift of time and patience to define their brand and invest in those relationships. And very quickly, they'll see the difference between marketing that works and tactics that don't ever build to anything.
And, the social media piece of this is really leveling the playing field for solopreneurs and smaller businesses. But
it
isn't any different than the way things were, say, in 1960 or 1970 in terms of what it accomplishes. It's all about the relationships. And you need to get your message out to all the places that your ideal customers happen to be hanging out already. In the old days, those places were offline, and it cost you lots of money to put your message in front of the people with where they were at. With social media today, we can do that for free because we have so many people hanging out in social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, etc. And so for the first time ever, a small business can compete with a big business because you don't need a big pocketbook in order to get your message out there where your customers are. But how that message attracts them, what that message causes to happen is vastly different because of social media.
It's so true, and it's going to get even more true as time goes on, and here's why. The importance of your smartphone is only going to increase. Every one of us is absolutely glued to that little screen, checking email and texting and all those things all the time. And more selling will be done through those small little screens, and it's going to come more and more social. So I'll walk into a store, I'll get a message, I'll get a discount, I'll buy that product, I'll share it with my friends, I'll get comments about it, they share it, I get a bonus reward, and so on. The connective tissue between people is going to be the most powerful driver of business, these social relationships and the relationship you, as a salesperson, have with that customer, because they can then amplify you. And the big shift is traditional media used to be one to many. I would put a television ad out there and many people would hear it. Now marketing is one to many. I give you an individual personalized message, and you like what I said to you because it shows that I'm listening to you and I know you, and so you share it with your 200 friends on Facebook or whatever it might be. And so even the advantages for the small solopreneur are going to be greater, because it's going to get more and more virtual, it'll be more and more online, it'll be more and more in smartphones. So if you really take the time to build out that emotional connection with your customers, this technology will give you the ability to have low overhead, to work from home, to kind of do a lot of heavy lifting with just a couple of employees and reach people wherever they are through their smartphones if you can build a relationship with them. And there's so much potential here.
I couldn't agree more. Before we run out of time, I want to make sure that we get folks a chance to learn about the new product you just come out with that helps to level the playing field even more, because for the first time ever, small brands can afford to get your wisdom to help them grow their business using social branding. So can we talk about that for a few minutes? I know you're in the middle of a product launch right now. What do you got going on?
Thank you. It's an exciting time, because my big passion has been taking all those lessons that I've learned through working on these big brands and applying them to my business, seeing the results, and then saying, wait, hold it. This is what other entrepreneurs need, and they're being penalized because they don't have this. So I want to get that to other entrepreneurs. So we're launching this week, for the first time ever from WeFirst, something that's called the Social Branding Blueprint. And its purpose is this. If you had the same support that Nike, Coca-Cola, Dell, Starbucks get, what could your business, your startup business do? How many more stages could you get on, or what larger fees could you command? Or, you know, how many more clients or bigger companies could you reach? Or, you know, how many more employees could you actually bring in very quickly to grow and scale your business, whether you're an author, you're a speaker, you're a trainer, you're a consultant? So I want to basically put your business on steroids the same way that the marketing insights that I've gained put my business on steroids. So the Social Branding Blueprint is an 8-module course, and there's a physical form where you get the 8-DVD set, transcripts, slides, and a social branding workbook, and then there's an online training platform where you get all of that as well, plus extra training content. And this is all my experience from working on these big brands, from the New York Times bestseller, from all the writing to the magazines, distilled down into a step-by-step actionable program that we're releasing for the first time ever. And in order to give you a direct experience in contribution in alignment with the purpose of your brand, what we're doing is when you buy the program, you get an extra online access pass to give to your favorite nonprofit. So you define what you care about. That is the best thing you can do for the bottom line of your business. And at the same time, you go, well, that purpose, I'd love to serve this nonprofit, and I'm going to go and give them this gift, and you're going to kickstart that experience. And then, in addition, this week only, the week of November 15th, we're giving away 2 free tickets to my next live event training seminar in Los Angeles in April in 2013. So you get one for you and one for the nonprofit. So here's how I've structured it, because I want people to succeed. I don't want to just sell a product. I want people to succeed. You buy the program the week of November 15th, and you get the material to work through. You get the online and the physical training kit. You then get you get an invitation to three free private webinars, teleseminars over in January, February, and March, where we work through any questions that you have specific to the program. And then in April, you come to the event itself. So you get a four-month period of support with all these insights from the best brands out there in the world built into a blueprint that you can follow step by step and then get support with for 4 months, so that 2013 is your year when things take off and you get to feel what it's like when suddenly your customers are building your business with you. And so I'm really excited, because November 15th, Thursday, is the first time it's ever available, and this is something we can make available to, you know, your listeners, you know, Rhonda and Gina right now, and I'm just, you know, as you can tell, probably very excited after months and months and months of work to be able to share this with you.
And, well, do you want me to give out a link, or do you have one that they can go to get the three free videos that Simon's got there right now?
Well, he has at he has some videos, and they are at, socialbrandingblueprint.com.
Well, askggg.com/SimonFree. askggg.com/SimonFree. You'll get these three incredible videos. I've been through all three of them myself. They are amazing. You'll get access to a webinar that Simon's getting ready to do this week, and you'll learn more about the Social Branding Blueprint when the doors open later this week. And Simon, I know personally I want to be at that event in April. I would not miss that for the world.
Oh, yeah,
thank
I want
you.
To be there too.
No, thank you. And, you know, it was incredible. We had our first event this year in February, and we had 147 brands there. And when you go to, you know, you go through the videos and you go to the site about the program, you'll see lots of testimonials about the real value that it gave to people's businesses as solopreneurs and startups. And I'm just really excited about two things. One, sharing these insights with entrepreneurs who otherwise wouldn't get it and wonder why their marketing isn't working. And then secondarily, what we can achieve together when we get a whole collection of purposeful small brands working to build their particular mission, but collectively we become this really powerful force for good, this sort of, and take this we first approach to the next level. And at the same time, we support nonprofits as we do it. So these three videos, you know, it's askggg.com/SimonFree. They give you a taste of what this is all about the new marketplace, the new customer, and some of the best practices of the top brands in the world. So you can actually start to build your social brand right now. And once you do this, you stop feeling like technology and the marketplace are overwhelming you, and you start feel like they're working for you, and you get excited about the future instead of mildly terrified. And that's what I want, you know, that's the gift I want to give all the other entrepreneurs who are working super hard like I am, and we're all in this together. You know, that's how I see it.
And I know that at least some of our listeners actually work with audiences of entrepreneurs. You should know that Simon actually has a two-tier affiliate program available. You can find it at askggg.com/SimonJV. If your audience consists of small business owners or big business owners, make sure you check out Simon's affiliate program, because you could really do a lot of good spreading this out to your people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
thank you so much,
Simon. If anybody wants a concrete example of how to use this package along with the extra piece of it that you can give to a nonprofit of your choice, get in touch with me via email, admin@directionsu.com, and I'll share some ways that you can really use that extra piece for a nonprofit of your choice to massively explode your business. Rhonda, maybe if we don't have a guest in the next couple of weeks, maybe we can even talk about that on our next show.
Yeah, you know what? Let's do that next week, being as it's Thanksgiving week, it's not always easy to get a guest anyway. So let's do that next week and be able to help people with that. And just really, see, because this whole thing, it's so much more than just saying, well, I'm going to give a donation to so-and-so. And it's more than getting a sponsor. It's so much about building the community and building it with purpose and doing it for good at the same time. So, yes, let's absolutely do that. And let's bring some of your students on next week to help us with that.
Yeah, maybe I can bring someone in, Simon, that we can actually show how getting the social branding blueprint could really help make her New York Times bestselling campaign next month really, really super successful.
Absolutely.
Your game, you're welcome to join me to do that.
No, that would be wonderful. And I studied all the best practices of the sort of best-selling authors of the year prior to me and really, you know, boiled down what strategies do or don't work specific to social media. So there's lots of things that I'd be happy to share with your listeners. And, you know, this is a time when we can finally get the success we deserve. We are so stressed as entrepreneurs. We're so rightly anxious about so many things, but we deserve to succeed, and we're putting in the sweat to do it. And we need to be kind to ourselves and give ourselves the training we need that will let us get there. And when we do, I just think there's nothing better than owning your own business, living a life of purpose and getting that sort of selfish fulfillment, which you won't find somewhere else, and then also making a contribution to others. And that, to me, that's living. I mean, that is really living a full life. And I guess that's all of us want at the end of the day, you know?
Right.
I couldn't agree more, Simon. We are out of time, but thank you so much for being here today and sharing the social branding expertise that you have, the message of We First and the social branding blueprint with our listeners. It's been a lot of fun, and we will be back next week with another episode of Relationship Marketing. Thanks, Rhonda, for getting this all arranged for us. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, Rhonda, and thank you, Gina, and thanks, everyone else, for listening.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions.